Lord, we worship you. Jesus, we worship you. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is here to minister to you tonight. It's been an attack of discouragement. And part of that attack has been to try to leave an image inside of you. You can go ahead and sit down if you like. Try to leave an image inside of you, a picture of hopelessness. How do I know this? This afternoon, as I was getting ready, all of a sudden, it was like on the inside there was just like this question, why am I doing this? And I knew it wasn't me. Because I know why I'm doing it. But there was an overwhelming question inside of me. Why am I doing this? And I've known for a while that there has been an attack going on here, just trying to discourage people. And you know what I'm talking about. And this is what I'm hearing inside. He wants to minister to you. So if you're dealing with that, what we're going to do is we're going to continue with a little bit more of this worship. If you're dealing with it, what I want you to do is I want you to just stand up. Don't worry about people seeing you. It's not important. Just stand up, worship the Lord, and allow the Holy Ghost to minister to you. And we're just going to continue in the same type of worship as what we've been doing here for the last 10, 15 minutes, okay? So just close your eyes. If you're one of these people, please don't stay in your seat. Go ahead and stand up. Father, I just pray for each one of these individuals that have stood up fighting with this. Father, I thank you that they have the victory in Jesus' name. We speak freedom to every one of these people. Freedom to their minds. Freedom to their hearts. In the name of Jesus, we shake off this discouragement. It cannot stay. And for those that are not here because they are steeped in it right now, Father, I just speak over them. Freedom in the name of Jesus. Freedom. Come against the powers of darkness, trying to blind them to the truth of what this is all about. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. When the Lord shows you something like that, you need to move on it. Amen. You need to take care of those kind of situations. I could tell by what he was having me look at to minister this evening. One of the things that the enemy is trying to paint inside of people is this picture of real hopelessness. This picture that, why are we doing this? Why are we praying? I don't see the kind of results that I'm expecting. You know, there's one thing that I really want to caution you about. It's having these preconceived ideas about things. Because what happens whenever you, for example, let's say this. I've heard a few people mentioning about fasting here lately, and I'm all for fasting. But when you fast, don't go into it with this preconceived idea that this fast is going to do this for me. Don't do that. Because the next thing that's going to happen is you're going to be dealing with disappointment when you find out that that didn't happen. You don't fast for those type of reasons. You fast because you're putting flesh down. You're putting it in its place. Over the course of time, you're going to see the results. That is the whole crux of what we're teaching. Over the course of time, you're going to see the benefits. One thing that I hear sometimes as I talk to people is an idea that they're wanting to see results in like X number of months, or I know that's kind of funny, isn't it? I'm going to start praying in tongues, and in 6 months I want to be a different person. Well, you're going to see some change, I can tell you that. That's for sure. But I can't guarantee you're going to be a whole new person. It takes time. Now, as I say this, let me preface it by saying this as well. It takes time, but you are, as you go down this path, at different times in the position to bear fruit. Okay? Keep that in mind. Sometimes I think I assume too much. I assume that people already realize that. And sometimes you don't. And you need to be reminded of that. As you're growing in this process, there are going to be different times that you're going to have a little bit of fruit that you're going to bring forth and bear, and people are going to be able to be fed by that. And that's wonderful. You know, well, how could that happen, Mark? Well, it could happen on your job. Could happen whenever you're cutting grass and you start talking to your neighbor. Could happen in a variety of different ways. And all of a sudden, here you are in this opportunity to share a little fruit with somebody else. Wasn't something planned. It just happens. It just happens. But God orchestrates these things. It really doesn't just happen. You think it does. But all of the time that you spent praying in tongues has caused these opportunities to manifest, to come about. And the next thing you know, here you are right in the middle of a situation where you can share some of the fruit that's being produced through your walk. I think too many times we have this destination mentality. Do you know what I'm talking about? A destination mentality. We think that it's all about reaching this one certain point out in the future. And it's not that. It's the journey along the way. That's what it's all about, is the journey from one day to the next. Yeah, you're going to grow and reach certain levels as time progresses, as you grow in your walk. But try to get out of your thinking that it's all about this one destination way out there in the future. And try to focus on today. What God can use me in today. Does that help anybody? Because I really feel like that at places where we are at times, like, okay, for example, Sunday morning. Wonderful service Gary had, where we had people come on the platform, tell about their experiences. Doug, Angela went to Africa and got to tell about that experience. And what does that do? That encourages me. I get encouraged because I'm seeing someone that's progressed to that place where God's able to use them out in another country. Praise God for that. Now, you know what can happen? This is what can happen. Some good, positive experience like that, where we're hearing the testimony, the enemy will take that, twist it around in somebody's mind and say, look, you're not doing anything. You hear what I'm saying? Look at what they're doing. You're not doing anything. Loser. Oh, he's not very nice. Have you noticed that? See, a positive experience where we're hearing about what how someone has taken this message, applied the principles, they've grown, developed, and now they're at that fruit-bearing place where God is sending them out. They're ministering to people. And they're coming back and they're sharing the goodness of what God has done. And then there's people that will sit in their chairs because of what the enemy is attacking them with, and sit there and they'll scorn the whole thing. And really, it's just the enemy. It's all it is. The enemy's trying to get them to focus on negative things. Well, that should be you out there doing that. No. We rejoice with those who rejoice. Amen. Rejoice with them. Thank God that they're at that place. See, I want those kind of experiences to be an encouragement. I want to be encouraged by that. I want to be encouraged to pray a little bit more. I don't want to look at that and say, well, they didn't, you know, it wasn't me out there doing this, so, you know, that something must be wrong in that whole situation. No, I want to be encouraged by it. Look, this works. Look, I mean, we have this youngster right here walking the ground in Africa. Look, getting people filled with the Holy Ghost, getting people saved, getting people prayed for and healed. Well, you know, I'm just too old to do this. There's no obstacle that's too great. There's no obstacle. There's nothing the enemy can put up against you. Age isn't a prerequisite. It's not something that's going to knock you out. Money or lack of it, that's not going to do it. It's what you allow the enemy to stop you with. What are you allowing him to stop you from doing for the Lord? You know, Gary mentioned, he said, this is a training center. And he's so right. This is just not normal church. This is a training center. You come here because you're hungry to be trained. You're hungry for the things of God. You want to go farther. You want to do more for Jesus. You have a hunger inside of you. Smith Wigglesworth said the best prayer you could pray for anybody is a prayer for more hunger inside of them. More hunger for the things of God. Be hungry. Crave more of God. Don't allow yourself to be pushed out by circumstances that the enemy creates from being in God's presence. We're going to talk tonight. We're going to talk a little bit about why it takes the time that it does take. Because most of you know that it takes time to really get to the place where you feel like, or you know that you're walking in the calling that God's called you for. Why does it take so long? Why can't I just have it like, you know, in 6 months or a year? Why? What's the whole reason for it? And it's going to go back to what I've been talking about and what Gary talked about in Ohio, apparently. We're going to be talking about conforming to his image. Conforming to his image. We're going to start out in Genesis, and we're going to go through the entire Bible. No, just kidding. We're going to start out in Genesis chapter 1. I want you to look at this, get this picture in your mind, beginning in verse 26. Well, very familiar with this account. I'm going to read it slowly here because I want you to get the whole gist of what's happening. Verse 26, and God said, let us make. The word make's important. Make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created. That's important. See, in verse 26, it said, let us make. But then in verse 27, it says, so God created. And that word created in the Hebrew, it's only attributed to God, not to anybody else. Only God is in the creating category. We're not. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. We're going to stop there. And we're going to look at this for a little bit. The word image that's used here, when it says that God created man in his image, the word image, you'll remember, if you remember the Ten Commandments, that we're not to worship any graven image. The word image there is the same word image. This is the thing that you'll want to get clear inside of you. When God created man, there was no curse on the earth. No curse. Everything's pure. Everything's wonderful. And here God begins to form the physical body of man. Forms him out of the dust of the ground. So if we were standing and looking and watching God do this, we would see this physical body created out of the dust, laying there on the ground, lifeless. In other words, if I came along, tried to pick this thing up, this body, it would just fall back down to the ground. There's no life in it. Anybody ever seen someone that's passed away? I had the opportunity to see someone pass away. It was my grandmother. Saw her. And you just know when there's nobody there anymore. You know, you just know it. It doesn't take any kind of, you know, PhD. You look at this body and you know immediately there's just something that there's no life there. That person has gone. So this body that God made lays there lifeless. And the moment that he reaches down, and we've already covered it, Pastor Dave's covered it, the word talking about breathe is where he is, his life, he's investing, God's investing his life into this creation. He invests life instantly, as he's down, and life goes into this, you know, body that's laying here. Instantly, spirit. I can just see this thing, just this body, Adam, just, he's alive. He's breathing. Let me ask you something. Before that instant, before that second, was there any history for Adam? No history at all. So when he came into existence at that second, he came fully understanding, full knowledge. No history at all. That's really important. Because when we came into existence, when we were born again, that instant where life was breathed into us, instantly we were born again. But unlike Adam in that garden, I came with history in my brain. A real vivid history, a vivid recollection of all the trash, everything. So why has it taken Mark Jenkins so long to get to the place that I could walk in the place in the calling that I'm in right now? It wasn't because when I was initially born again that I didn't receive all that God had for me in that one instant, because I did. But here's the thing. There had to be a growing up process, a maturing process, a being conformed into the image of Jesus. And my brother and sister, that takes time. It just takes time. And the one thing that you don't want to do is circumvent that. In other words, you don't want to cut it short and think, well, I believe I've arrived today. I've just finished my 3-day fast. I prayed for an entire 15 minutes. And I believe that I'm ready to go on the worldwide preaching tour. You see, the first thing is, you don't decide when you are going to go on your preaching tour. He promotes you little by little, step by step. It's also gradual. You know, it's funny because people all of a sudden see someone, you know, behind the pulpit preaching or whatever their call is, walking out their call. They see them in the fullness of their call one day and they think, wow, that guy just arrived. No, that guy did not just arrive. If he did, he's going to be short-lived. No, what happened was you didn't see the person when he was doing all of the little things along the way. You didn't see the person in the hours in the prayer closet. You didn't see the person in the times of fasting and meditating the Word. You didn't see, and I don't care what your call is. I don't care if your call is helps, governments, whatever it is. It doesn't have to be a pulpit ministry. You still have to get this worked inside of you. You still have to conform to the image of Jesus. You have to do it. Because there are so many takeouts. Whatever it is that you're supposed to walk in, there's so many opportunities to be taken out of this. Because you weren't like the first Adam. And you came into this with a history that you have to get this mind renewed to the way the Word of God is, to the way God thinks, the way God believes, the way He addresses situations, the way He deals with things. Because you aren't programmed like that. You're programmed the way the world is. You were born into this world. This world has programmed you, and you don't even know it. You're programmed with you have a death nature. And you were raised in a fallen world. It is a miracle that you are here tonight. I want you to think about it. It is just a miracle that we ever got saved. We were born with a death nature. All those years being programmed by a fallen world. All that time. All I knew to do was what the world taught me. This is the way you do it. And that's what I knew. And then all of a sudden, you know, one day I get saved and I have all of this really high quality fallen world training. I mean, it's high quality stuff. I know how to operate in the world with the best of them. And now all of a sudden I find out I can't use, that's not good. I can't use that anymore. Help me, Jesus. Because I think it's right. You hear what I'm saying? I think all of those things are right. And besides that, my flesh kind of likes a lot of those things too. So I've got an uphill battle on my hands. And there's a lot of opportunities along the way where the other people that have stopped, they're going to try to get me to join them. Okay? They found out that it's too hard, so they made a little doctrine that says, we can stop at this level, this is as far as you have to go. And believe me, I know that there are so many people that fall prey to that and leave this teaching because they get to a certain level and they hear someone say, you don't have to go any farther. Hey, this is it. Oh, okay, well, this is it. And then they find a seat and they sit down and wherever that doctrine takes them, and that's the end of it. And you don't want to stop at some arbitrary level where someone else got stopped because they didn't want to press in. I want to go as far as I can go, and so do you. So do you. And you can. Go to Galatians chapter 5. I keep seeing this verse, so it must be the place to add this. Galatians 5. I keep trying to get the Holy Ghost to tell me what I'm going to teach before I get up here, and he just keeps so quiet when I try to get that. Galatians 5, we're going to pick up in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Yes, I know you know this verse very well. So Adam, when Adam took his first breath, he had been created in the image of God. He takes his first breath. He looks at Jesus. Do you know what's right there that can manifest at any time through Adam? Love, joy, peace. All of these fruits are in full bloom in this newly created. That's not fair. How long has it taken me to get to the place that I can bear fruit? And he's got it right off the bat. All he's got to do is take his first breath, and here he is, bearing fruit. Love, joy. He doesn't know anything else. Nothing else. What an advantage. See, take a look. Go back a few verses. See, these are the works of the flesh, are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, I think this list is longer, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. None of that list, none of it was in Adam's life before the fall. Absolutely none of it. See, me, on the contrary, I filled that list up. But Adam didn't. He didn't have these issues in the flesh, not until the fall came. So why do I bring that out? It's because we are going back to that standing in the garden. That's what this is about. That's what it's about, is for us individually to make our way back to the garden. The standing that the first Adam had. The freedom that the man had from all of these hang-ups in the flesh. Hey, that's what it's about. Being conformed to the image of Christ. You see, once Once sin came into the world, everything was marked with sin. There wasn't one thing that was beyond the mark of sin. So I want you to think about it. When Adam was created, he was created in the image of God. Now God has to give us, or give them, 10 commandments and say, don't go worshiping any graven image. Why? Because there was nothing, absolutely nothing in this world after the fall that was something that we could be conformed to that would be like Adam in the garden. Everything was marked with sin. Everything. So how in the world is mankind ever going to get back to that place of pureness like they were in the garden? How? And it was impossible without God. Because it was God who came to this earth and brought the image once again for us to be conformed to. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. I'll just begin in verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image. Look at that. What am I talking about? The very image that God used in creating Adam. It was the image of himself. And now that image is once again introduced into the earth and through the person of Jesus. The image is back. The image is here. Glory to God. The express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. Now turn over to John. I want you to look at John chapter 12. This was the scripture that Gary said that he used in Ohio. And start off in verse 23 of John chapter 12. Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. And he asked the question. He said, What seed do you ever plant into the ground that only produces one of itself as a result? Said, none of them. When you plant that corn of wheat into the ground, the image is in that seed. And what's reproduced is a replication of the seed planted. And you don't just get one seed on that ear of corn. When you shuck it and you look at it, you have a whole line, a whole ear full of the same. The product is a replication of the seed that was sown. Jesus came out when he was in the belly of the earth, and God breathed in him the breath of life, just like the same thing that happened in the garden with the first Adam. The second Adam, the last Adam, not the second, the last Adam, was recreated. Life filled him up, born again. And he was the prototype for each one of us. So what we see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what the first seed prototype did on this earth as he walked through those pages of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It is for each one of us to have, to walk in, to be conformed to that image. You're not hollering near loud enough. That's exciting because that, my friend, that's what we're pressing towards. For those of you, and it may be those of you through the computer, I don't know, on the internet. For those of you that have lost sight of what it is, why it is that you do this message, it is being to be conformed to the image of Jesus. You're walking out the very same pages of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, I don't see it, Mark. I don't see it in my life yet. It's no reason to stop. It is no reason to stop just because you don't see it right now. Look, you're in a much different place than that first Adam. There is reprogramming that has to take place in your mind for you to be conformed into the image of Jesus. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We're going to talk about this process. Conforming to the image of Jesus. We're all familiar. I'm going to read them anyway because I like to hear them. Romans 8, 26, 27, and 28. We're heading for 29. Likewise, the Spirit, and we all know this is the Holy Spirit, also helps our infirmities, our weaknesses, our inabilities to know what we should pray for as we ought. Do you know what you know? I mean, do you realize the depth of the understanding that you have? I can say something like that from Romans 8, and automatically inside, you already know what I'm talking about. How many churches have no clue at all? You have come so far. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit Himself, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts, he knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. If you're just listening by the internet and you've never heard this taught before, car wrecks, that's not what this is talking about. People unexpectedly dying, that's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about here is you pray, you enable the Holy Ghost to go out in front of you, and you are creating the pathway of the perfect will of God for yourself to walk right into. I was talking to somebody this week. They were, you know, just beginners trying to understand what praying in tongues is all about. For those of you, again, that are listening, if you're just starting down this path of praying in tongues, the first takeout, the first thing the enemy is going to try to use to stop you is going to be the falling out of prayer issue. That'll be the first thing. Once you get past that, you're on your way. But that's the first one. He'll do everything he can to try and take you out of prayer. He'll give you every kind of obstacle, every kind of reason not to pray. Family issues, jobs, no time. Trying to figure out, what does God even know what I'm praying? Does he even hear me? All these questions. See, we know all of this already. See, that right there should tell you something. You hear what I'm saying? That should tell you something. Look how close to ready you really are. Look at all the information. I mean, if you sat down with somebody right now that didn't know any of this, you just like, it just like push your nose and be like pushing the tape player, and all of a sudden, here it comes out. That's how ready you are to go and share this message. So anyway, let me go back here. Verse 29, chapter 8, Romans. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. In the usage of the word conformed here, now you tell me if this sounds familiar to you. Symorphos. Same, it comes from the same root word as morphos, metamorphos. This particular word here, as it's used, the definition is jointly formed. Jointly. So the being conformed here is an action that's jointly with you doing what? Praying in tongues and the Holy Ghost. It's jointly. You're being conformed to the image of His Son. As you're praying in tongues, you're doing your part, but jointly the Holy Ghost is doing His part to bring you to the place of conforming to the image. Isn't that good? I really like that. Oh, dropped my paper. Now go over to Romans chapter 12. I want to show you the other one. Romans 12. With the same thought in mind, we're going to start off in 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. Now that word, conformed, means to fashion self according to. So you're fashioning yourself. In the other one, it's a joint effort. In this one, you're doing the work. You're doing the fashioning all by your little self. You're conforming to the world. And I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to look more about this image of being conformed to this image. What I'm hoping you'll see tonight, what I believe the Holy Ghost is wanting you to see tonight, is this. There's a process that you're going to walk through here. And you need to see this process. You need to look at it. Recognize this conforming into the image of Jesus isn't something that just happens. It's not like you can come to a prayer line and you can get this really strong, super, super strong anointed one to pray for you. And all of a sudden, oh my goodness, I am conformed to the image of Jesus. No, it doesn't work that way. It's not like that. See, this is a process. And I want you to see it. And it's the process is shown up so clear in Paul's writing right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. So let's look at it. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. Look at that. The same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. See that glory? For that glory to glory, from glory to glory, from one level of glory to the next level of glory. You're growing all the time you're doing this. All the time you're praying in tongues. All the time that you're meditating the Word. You're going from one level of glory. You're stepping to the next level. From glory to glory. Now you ask yourself, why? Why can't I just have it all at once? There's something There's something with God about your hunger for Him. It's really hard to explain. But you can go as far into Him as you want to. It really just depends on how hungry you really are. Because you get to one level of glory, it's like, well, I'm satisfied here. That's where you'll stay. And there's nothing, God's not going to fault anybody for how far they go with Him. Hey, you're going to heaven. He's excited. You're part of the family. Praise God, you're coming to heaven. But for those of us who aren't just satisfied with going to heaven, you want to take a bunch of people with you. Okay? You want to go with a whole army of people around you. It's that hunger. You can't describe it either. I don't know that there's words really to describe that yearning. That yearning way down deep. That it just can't be satisfied. It's, Lord, I want to do more. I want to do more for You. I want to do more. Father, make me hungrier. I want to be hungrier. I don't ever be satisfied. I don't ever want to be satisfied. Ever. Ever. You know, Pastor Dave isn't where he is today because he got satisfied at some point in his walk. Okay? He's where he is because he never got satisfied. He's still hungry. He's still hungers for more of God. And okay, this is the next part we're looking at. And he doesn't think of himself more highly than he ought to. That's the next thing. Go back to Galatians chapter 5. That's the next part of this. As you begin to see the levels of glory that you walk in. Here's what you don't want to have happen to you. And I shared a little bit about this Sunday morning, Galatians chapter 5. You see, chapter 5, we're looking at the last verse, but we've come through all of the works of the flesh. We've come through all of those. We're seeing the fruit beginning to manifest. So now you ask yourself this. If Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, if he gave us the whole list already of the sins of the flesh, he already gave that to us. Now he's talking about the fruit of the Spirit. So praise God, I'm seeing fruit coming forth. Why is he going back and talking about negative stuff again? Look at this. So we go through in 22, the fruit of the Spirit, 23, 24, and they that were Christ have crucified the flesh with its afflictions and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory. After you get past the traps in the flesh, and you're beginning to produce the fruit of the Spirit, you're still highly susceptible to the vainglory, thinking of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Like, for example, maybe you're the one finally that's healing the person instead of God through you. We've seen it. All you got to do is go buy one of God's general's book and you can see it. It's through the pages. Here these people are. They had these huge worldwide healing ministries. And all of a sudden, they think they're something special. Alexander Dowie thinks He's the Elijah to come. And he sits down on this big big chair up on the platform, and he's got this really funny looking hat on his head. That's the takeout that he will use once you begin to see the fruit starting to manifest. You see the fruit. People are starting to come and partake of the fruit on your limbs. Listen to me. You're asking the question, why is it taking me so long? You're going to get to this place and you're going to begin to see fruit manifesting on your limbs. And when it happens, people are going to try and come and partake of your fruit. They're going to do it. When they see, hey, this stuff really works. Look, here's somebody that it's working in their life. They're going to be attracted to the God in you that they see. The image that you've conformed to is going to draw them. And the thing that you've got to die to self to is self-exaltation. You're nothing. You're nothing in this whole process except just a limb that's bearing the fruit. It's the fruit they're after, not you. That's why this takes so long. It's the process of dying to self. Yes, you're already crucified because, positionally speaking, you're dead in Christ. Your body is accounted as dead. But guess what? It's very much alive when it comes to the things of the world trying to cast some glory on you. All of a sudden, hey, I kind of like this. What are we talking about? We're talking about why this process is a lengthy process. It's because you didn't come into this like the first Adam. You came into this with a history. I tell you what, if you can get your children, pay them to pray in tongues. Do whatever it takes to limit the history that they have. Because I'm going to tell you something. That history is hard to kick. There's times in my mind, if I let it, all the way back. I mean, we're talking about over 20 years ago, and it's almost like I'm living in that moment right then. Hate that. I hate that. It makes me almost feel like I got to repent. If you can limit that in a child growing up, get them saved, get them filled with the Holy Ghost, pay them to sit and pray in tongues, to begin that conforming process to the image of Christ at that early age, so they don't have some horrible history that they spend the rest of their life trying to get programmed out of them. Do it. And you young people, I'm telling you what, you're going to raise kids in a world that we don't even know about. We don't even know about. And you're going to need to get them, set them down, get them saved, fill them with the Holy Ghost, teach them how to pray in tongues, and you sit there with them and pray with them together. Do I hear an amen? Amen. 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 It's right. So here we are. Back in Galatians, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. You could have a whole service on that one verse right there. You could have an entire service on that verse. This is the thing in the body of Christ. It's really the reason why the body of Christ looks the way it does today. It's because people have not died to self, and they have allowed themselves to be corrupted by the self-exaltation. The self-exaltation to the point that God would love to use them. He would love to. But it threatens their whole entire well-being if he does. Now that's what it boils down to. He takes his time with each one of us. He does as much as he can at that level of glory that you have walked, that you're walking, that level of being conformed to his image, wherever that level is. He's using you as much as he can without you getting hurt. You want to be used more? Just die a little bit more. It's as simple as that. You want to be used a little bit more? Just die a little bit more. Just take that flesh, lay it up on the altar, and take that knife and just slay it a little bit more. Let's look at that part too. I think the scripture I want is in Colossians. Yeah, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And this is coming down here to the end. I hope you understand what I'm saying this evening. I really do. I hope you get this. Because like I said earlier, there's a real battle in the spirit right now with the enemy trying to take people out because of discouragement. Because they're looking at the whole process saying, I'm never getting anywhere in this. And he's getting the people to look at themselves. And then he's getting them to compare one person against the other person. Hey, you don't know what I do. I don't know what you do. I've seen some of you, your car's parked in this parking lot all the time praying. I'm telling you what, it impresses the socks off of me. It does. And I know that's not why you're doing it. But we don't know what each one of us does. We don't know the price that each one of us is willing to pay. Okay? So don't get into that arena of trying to compare what you're doing with somebody else, trying to see if you measure up to them or if you're better than them. Don't get into that. The Bible tells us not to compare brother against brother. Don't go there. All I want to do is be conformed to his image. That's the image. Not my neighbor's image. His image. And as I conform to his image, more fruits produced, more people are blessed, more people are going to go to heaven. Does that make sense? That's what we're after. All right, Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. I like that verse. I really, really like that verse. We are surrounded by a fallen world that wants us to focus on this fallen world. And he's telling us right here, Paul is saying, get your attention off this world. Get it on the things that matter. Get it on the things that are eternal. Get it off of the things that are temporal. It's going to change. Just wait. It'll be different tomorrow. It will. I just really love that verse. I'm going to read it again. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections. And I like this. If you look at the definition of affections, savor, think on, savor. Set your affection on things above. Savor the things that are above. Savor that on the good things of God, his holiness, His righteousness. Savor, dwell, think on it, meditate on it. Not on the things on the earth. Don't get your mind focused on the things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Now, if you match this list that I'm about to read up with Galatians chapter 5, you're going to see it's a pretty close match there. These are the things that you're supposed to put to death. These are the works of the flesh: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked some time when you lived in them. But now you also put off all of these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, this is the verse, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. The old man. Put him off. Can you do that once? No. It's a process of putting him off and conforming to the image of Christ. Putting off the old. It's not a one-time thing. You know, I remember, I was just thinking about this as a child, a young person, a teenager. So whenever our family went to just a denominational church. And I still remember the times that I would go out and party all night and go in the next day, go into church, and all I knew to do was just to beg God to forgive me. And that's all I knew. I want you to think about that. Because I bet you, I would imagine that there are a lot of people in the sound of my voice that came from that kind of background. I don't care what flavor the denomination is. The programming that was programmed inside of you taught you that you could go sin and Sunday morning get yourself to the church and repent and then just go ahead and do whatever you want to next week. See, that's the programming that's going on inside that you don't even recognize that there still might be some little bit of evidence of it in there somewhere. Who knows? Until you get conformed, until your mind is transformed, the way you think is reprogrammed, it's there. And I want you just to rejoice and thank God for where you are today. Because I'm telling you what, there's a lot of junk that we have walked out of to get to this place. And this is not a place to be discouraged. That's what I want you to see. This isn't the place for discouragement. This is a place for rejoicing. Because look at where you came from. Look at what you were programmed with. Maybe you were just a good old heathen. Thank God that you can be conformed to His image and you know how to do it. You don't have to just go from week to week confessing, oh my goodness, I went out and did that again last night. Here's my little, pill that I'm going to take. Well, I forget what Pastor Dave called it, but it was like a repent, pill for repent. You're going to repent, take your pill, and then next week you're going to take another one because you're going to do it again. So whenever you get ready on Friday night to go out, you got to make sure you pack your repentant pills because you're going to have to repent for what you're about to do. See, you don't live that way anymore. There's so many people in church that live just exactly like that. They don't know the freedom that you have. They don't know the freedom that's available to them. That they can truly be conformed to the image of Christ. That's what this is all about. That it's a process that you walk through. And I thank God that you know. In closing, when you sense that discouragement, especially on somebody else, pray for them. Encourage them. Help them to realize what they have. Where they're at. Because they're not seeing it right now. It's like the enemy darkens their mind to the progress that they've made. I've sensed that at times before. I think you probably have too. It's almost like he darkens your mind. You forget how far you've come. Well, I want you to know. You have come a long way. Amen. Why don't you stand up with me?